Yes, I am traveling to India this Wednesday with a good friend and brother of mine, Reg Thomas, and we are going to be going for 2 weeks. I got the itinerary from Sam Purushottam, and it looks as though as soon as we land, we're going to work. So there's no time to adjust to time zones or anything like that, so please keep me in your prayers. I'm really excited to be a part of that and to go do that. So I'll miss you guys for 2 weeks. I'll be thinking about you, but I will be out there. Just one quick little promotion thing that I'm doing, just simply because I have the microphone once again. My wife, one of your worship leaders, Elizabeth, is a part of a local orchestra, Lansdowne Symphony Orchestra. Their concert is today at 3 o'clock, and you're like, why are you promoting that, right? It's 3 o'clock at Upper Darby High School, and the reason why I'm promoting it is because the Lansdowne Symphony Orchestra that she's a part of just got nominated for the 61st Grammy Awards. Yeah. So I'm so proud of her and the work that she puts in, and they are really good. So today at 3 o'clock, Upper Darby High School, you guys can hear them. You can hear them play. Sound good? All right. In 1904, there was an unlikely partnership that took place between two people. It was a really hot summer day, and a man by the name of Arnold was here with his invention at the World's Fair. It's a World's Fair in St. Louis, 1904. And he's there with his invention, and his invention was this creamy substance. And this creamy substance that if you actually froze it and made it really cold, it would be icy and it would be creamy all at the same time. I think you can know where I'm going with this. Now, it was a really hot, blistering day, and the people at the World's Fair were lining up in droves for refreshment. It was just scorching hot, and so they're all going to this man's booth, this vending machine, where this guy is making this creamy ice stuff. And he was not prepared for the high demand. They were just coming in droves. He was absolutely not prepared at all for it. He was running out of paper plates as fast as can be. And as a matter of fact, he had to even, with his porcelain bowls, he would fill them up, give it to somebody, and he would have to wash it out real quick, fill it up with somebody else. And he was just out of his league with this, right? Well, there was a man by the name of Ernest who was at the vendor right next to him. Now, Ernest wasn't selling any of his stuff. He was right next to the guy who's selling this creamy ice. And so this guy named Ernest, he's like, man, what, he sees the problem that Arnold's having and the demand. And Ernest, what he would sell was this warm pastry that's called zalabia. All right, and he would take this warm, it was like a wafer kind of crispy thing that he took it and he's like, this guy's having a hard time. And so he's not selling anything. And so what he did is he took some warm zalabia and he rolled it into a cone shape. And he's like, huh, I wonder if this will work. And so he hands it over to Arnold. He's like, dude, I think I got a solution to your problem here. And so was birthed the beautiful partnership of ice cream and cones. Amen? That's a beautiful, beautiful day in 1904 that took place. It was an unlikely partnership, but I want you to see that they could do so much more together than they could do individually. You see that? They could do so much more together than they can do individually. At the end of the service, we have two families going to be coming and joining Cornerstone in partnership today. It's really exciting. And so I'm going to be talking about partnership today and the value that partnership has. Do you know that there is a value in being committed as partners in the gospel? There's so much value in it, not only to God, but to each and every one of you as individuals. So at this church, we don't call it membership. And we call it partnership, and I'll explain why in just a little bit. But for a while, and I know that there's some other pastors who, you know, at some time you go through this, is membership, is partnership, is it a biblical thing? Is it even, like, in Scripture? Is it really something that we should even be following a part of? Is it something we should be in obedience to? And the absolute answer to that question is yes. Partnership is absolutely necessary, and it's exhibited throughout Scripture, where people determine that they're going to be fully committed to God's mission and to one another. And this is throughout the gospel, throughout the New Testament, we see that. That people are saying, hey, they recognize that, hey, the blood of Jesus covers my life. And so it's the blood of Jesus covers my life. And God invites me, imparts me into his family. We've all become partners together. We are committed to each other as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? The whole premise is that you can't have God without having me. I can't have God without also having you in my life. That's the way God designed it. He designed partnership from the very beginning, that he would partner with mankind, and him and mankind would work together for his kingdom purposes here on this earth and to establish his kingdom on this earth. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we're going to look at this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, if you want to follow along with me there, you can. Paul's writing this church to the church of Philippi, okay? And this is the beginning of his letter to the church in Philippi. Now, I want you to remember that Paul isn't a part of this church. He helped establish this church, and he's writing to this church. And he's caught up in the affection every time he thinks about the time that he had with them and how his heart was knit to their heart in purpose and in relationship. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the very first day that their hearts were knitted together in relationship and in purpose. He's so grateful, and every time he thinks about them, he's overwhelmed with joy, and he prays to God, and God, I thank you for these people that you've placed in my life because they're partners in the gospel with me. They're partners in the gospel with me. Now, this word partnership has a deep meaning. It's the Greek word koinonia, and you may have remembered it from when we did that series on covenant community a while back, where we really stressed the idea of what it truly means to be a community and the people of God and fellowship and partnership with one another. But when Paul uses this word partnership, it expresses a deep connection in two ways. It expresses it in relationship, but it also expresses it in purpose and mission. And so when Paul uses this word partnership, he's making the assumption immediately of a familiar relationship that he has with people. That because of what Jesus has done in your life and your acceptance and your belief in that, and that you live your life for Jesus, that we're family. And so he makes that assumption right away. We're partners in this thing together. But he also makes the assumption that of a common purpose that they had together, where everyone who is covered by the blood of Jesus is also called and invited by God into his awesome kingdom work, into his mission field, into his mission on this earth, that every single one of you in this room have been called into and invited into. And so when Paul uses this word, he's making two assumptions, two big assumptions, that relationally we're in this forever, and in purpose and mission, we're in this together forever. And so there's this necessity that he begins to unveil for us in Scripture. And I want to start by saying that partnership is absolutely necessary for two reasons. You can throw that up for me this morning. Partnership is necessary for two reasons. For God's mission to be accomplished and for your maturity to be completed. Partnership is necessary for God's mission to be accomplished in this world and for your maturity to be completed. In just a few minutes, we're going to have a few people who are going to come up and bring a firsthand account of the value that partnership has had on their life. I've asked a couple who has been in this church for eons, way before I was even breathing, and they're going to be coming and giving their perspective of the value of what it means to be committed and to the local church and committed in partnership with the local church. And I've also asked somebody else who has only been committed, who's been a partner for less than 5 years, and so you can kind of see a different perspective. But before they come up, I want to take a deeper look into this partnership to the local church that brings so much value of mission and of spiritual growth. In Romans 12:5, Paul says, we who are many make up one body in Christ. We're individual members of one another. All right, so there's many of us that make up the body of Christ. So many of us. We stretch throughout the ends of the earth. There's so many of us. But we all form one body together. We are all members of one another. I'm a part of you. You're a part of me. And together, we are a part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he also says that even so this body is made up of many, we are one. In fact, God has placed the parts of this body, every single one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So what I get from that, and from Acts 17 as well, where it tells us that God determined the place that you would live and the place that you would be, and he's established the land in which you would live. That means to tell me that God has designed it so that all of us together would be fellow members, fellow co-workers in his mission here in Delaware County. That God designed it that way. He created it to be that. Just as he wanted it to be, here you and I are. Take a look around, and this is the way that God wanted it to be for you. Somebody's like, oh my gosh. I'm a part of you, you're a part of me. And and together we make up the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, Paul goes on to the church of Ephesus and he says, from him, from Jesus Christ, this whole body is joined together. The whole body of Christ is joined together and we're held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each individual part of the body does its work. As each individual part of the body does its work. My daughter, when she was 3 years old, I had an accident playing baseball and I blew my ligament in my knee. And I didn't realize I blew my ligament in my knee until I got out of bed the next morning. It didn't happen. It was happening in a certain play, and I didn't really feel it. I just felt something pop, but I was walking fine, you know. And I woke up the next morning and just fell flat on my face. My ligament was not supported, and it was not strengthened, and it was not helping any part of my leg to work. And so I discovered in that moment the value of a supporting ligament and how important it is for the entire body to function. I was not able to work. I was not able to do all the things that I needed to do to accomplish the mission that God had called me to, simply because a simple ligament in my knee failed me. And so that's the same kind of imagery that Paul is using here, that every part of the body is needed. Every single individual part of the body is needed because God designed it to be that way. He designed it to be that way. And we all have this mandate to take responsibility for that. If we're going to follow God's commands, we have the responsibility to take that mandate and live it out. But make no mistake about it, that the mission that God has, this kingdom mission, is work. Right? God's mission is work, isn't it? And so God needs every one of his people doing what they have been called and appointed to do. The success of God's mission in this kingdom and his kingdom on earth is dependent upon you and I taking responsibility for that. It's absolutely dependent upon us taking responsibility for the part that we play in this grand mission. Each and every one of you has a part to play. And all of God's people making a lasting commitment to be active in his mission. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says that each of us has been given a proper gift. And it's a gift that God determined to give specifically to you. You know what that tells me? Is that you have abilities in this body, in our collective body, that are so much better than some of the abilities that I have. And I have some abilities that you cannot do. And you have some abilities that I cannot do. And so we have these certain abilities that no one can quite do like you. And God has established it that way. God has created you and designed you specifically, individually, for that purpose. And they're given to us to be used in service to God. Every gift and ability and talent, time, talents, and treasures, we say, is that God has given to you are to be used in service to him, to bring glory to him. That's why you exist on this earth, to bring glory to him, so that we could be a part of this incredible mission to reach every single man and every single woman and every single child that God has put us around with this beautiful, awesome news of his son, Jesus Christ. You get to be a part of that. You get to be a part of that. And so we can see in Scripture that clearly partnership is necessary, to be in partnership with one another in mission. In order for God's mission to be accomplished, partnership is necessary. God needs every member of his body in position of support. God needs every member of his body in position of support. Just think about your body and the ligaments, and every single one is in a specific position. God needs his body, the body of Christ, in every local expression throughout the earth. He needs them positioned in support. Not bailing out, but in support, using the abilities that he's blessed you with for the advancement of his kingdom. Awesome. We get to be a part of this. It's so awesome. Now, when Paul uses this word partnership, he assumes a commitment is made there as well. He assumes there's a commitment that they have made on behalf of that local church. And there's two things when it comes to the mission, of God's mission being accomplished as far as commitment. Being in partnership helps enhance the strength of the church. And us in partnership together, when we are in partnership together, it strengthens the church. It strengthens and enhances the strength of the church. It also shores up a lot of the weaknesses, a lot of the things that we cannot do. In this room, I believe, in the first service, I believe, is capable to do everything that God designed us to do here. And this local expression of earth, He's designed it. It's here. It's sitting in this room. It's sitting in the first service. As God established it that way. Being in partnership helps maximize our influence in the area that He's given us. Right? I've said this before, but I can't reach the people that you can reach. You can't reach the people that I can reach. That every single person, God has planted you amongst your friends, your relatives, and your co-workers for you to reach those people. And so therefore, the arms of the church extend, and it expands so much further than just these four walls. Our reach is so far, so far. And I want you to see that, that you've been called to be a part of that reach. And partnership exists to accomplish that common goal and mission. Just like that ice cream guy and the cone guy. That's what partnerships exist for. It's what God has designed for partnership to be. And so the New Testament church, it models for us what this partnership looks like. People of God committed to one another. Committed to one another and to the mission that He has set for us. And this commitment that Paul assumes, this is a calculated decision. This, in just a few moments, we have two families who have made this calculated decision to bear with each other. And they're making a decision that says, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this to commit. I'm in this to bear with my brothers and sisters. What may come, for better or worse, I'm in this for the mission of God. For the sake of the gospel, I want to do this. But as you read through Paul's letters in the New Testament, we discover that partnership is not a bed of roses all the time, is it? It's not just a smooth sailing ride. And matter of fact, a lot of the letters he wrote was dealing with conflict. And it was dealing with discord in the church and disappointment and discouragement and unmet expectations and so on. And so if the scripture points out that this is the reality of partnership, right? When the church was at its apex, when the church was at its most exponential growth, then why would we think for one second that it would be any different today? This is the reality of partnership. And that's what leads us to the other reason why it's necessary. Partnership is necessary because it brings your spiritual maturity to completion. It's meant to bring your spiritual maturity to completion. You know, oftentimes, people will come into church and they love the excitement of the church. And when they first start going to a church and they're making new friends and they really click with people and it's all good and it's all peachy keen. But after a time, the reality is that feeling begins to wear off. And that feeling begins to wear off. Why? Because you become open yourself up a little bit. You become a little bit vulnerable with other people. You begin to bear the weight of this life and the struggles that you have and the struggles that your family has. And you basically are open. You're exposing yourself up and you're being open with people, vulnerable, naked before people in a sense, you know? And so a lot of times when people, we see this often, that when people get to this phase, the knee-jerk reaction and the reflex reaction is to withdraw. It's to depart and to detach yourself. But think about this. If we don't get to that place where there's discord and where there's conflict and disappointments and unmet expectations, if we don't come face-to-face with that, and if we don't see through that and push through that, how can we possibly be obedient to all the commands in Scripture that call us to bear with one another in love? In Ephesians, in Galatians, in Colossians, you see the same thing over and over. Bear with one another with all humility and gentleness. Bear with one another in forgiveness. Bear the burdens of each other. Forgive any grievances that you have against someone else. It's a common theme in these letters that he's writing to these churches. It was reality of partnership. It was the reality of partnership. Paul was very familiar with this aspect of partnership. If you remember, Paul and Barnabas, they had this dynamic partnership. And in Acts 11 through 15, you see their names mentioned so many times about their partnership they had in mission. And they had a dynamic partnership, but they also had one of the most tragic partnerships. That in the end of Acts 15, at the end there, it tells us that they had a disagreement. They had a dispute about how to go forth in the mission. One guy thought we should take this guy, and Paul was like, no, we're not taking this guy with us. He deserted us one time before. Why should we bring him now? You know? And Barnabas was like, I think we should bring him, and we should take him on this next mission. And it says there in Acts 15, 39, there arose a sharp disagreement. That's one way to put it. You can imagine it got heated, right? there arose this sharp disagreement, and it says that they then separated from each other. All right, so Paul is familiar with this type of, this aspect of partnership, that partnership is risky and messy, right? That's the reality of it, that when you commit in partnership, you're committing to something that's risky. You're taking a risk, because at times it can get messy. Think about Jesus and Judas for a second. I mean, Jesus was in partnership with Judas for 3 years, right? And he entrusted this man who was a thief, and I believe it, being all God, he knew that this man was a thief, but he still went into partnership with him for 3 years. And he put this, not only did he go in partnership with him, but he actually entrusted him with the money bag. He said, Judas, you're going to be in charge with the money, all the finances. And it says in Scripture that he took that finances and he used it for his own benefit and his own good. All right, Jesus entered into partnership, and here's this man, Judas, who was in charge of the money, right? And he's just a thief, and he steals the money. Not only that, but he betrays him into the hands of the Jews. And we know what happened from there. Or what about Moses? Moses chose 12 to partner with 12 leaders to go spy out the promised land. And 10 of them come back. And when they come back, they come and start spreading some rumors that this is not God's plan. That promised land, there's no way we're going to get in there. There's no way we're going to conquer it. And they just started to fester that throughout the entire camp. Partnership is risky, and at times, it's messy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you can throw that up for me, please, Sam, said this. Only the fellowship which faces such delusionment, with all its unhappy and ugly aspects, only then does it begin to be what it should be in God's sight. The sooner the shock of disillusionment comes to an individual and to a community, the better for the both. The better for the both. You see, to enter a partnership is risky, and at times can be messy. And I'm just amazed at how people have committed to church bodies for so long, so logical expressions of the church for so long, and they've gone through the thick and the thin, and there's people in this room right now who represent that. And I admire you guys. I absolutely look to you guys, and I am just floored at your commitment and your partnership through the thick and the thin. And it demonstrates itself in spiritual maturity, because that's what it's designed to do. That's what it's designed to do. You see, these unmet expectations that we face in being in partnership, right? We all have unmet expectations. You guys may have expectations of me that I don't meet, or that the leadership doesn't meet. You may have misunderstanding, and so of some of the things that we do, and so that'll cause frustration, and it'll cause disappointment, and it'll even cause doubt at times. When there's conflicts with each other, disagreements with us, the leadership, or with each other, it can lead to this disillusionment that if I leave here and I detach myself from this place, or that if I just remove myself from the problem, that it will actually be of greater value to me. But that's not at all what Scripture portrays for us. That's not at all what Scripture shows us. Throughout Paul's letters to the churches, we discover that from the very beginning of the church, the body of Christ, they've had to navigate through these numerous internal conflicts and disappointments and frustrations. They had to navigate through them, and they're inevitable. They're a part of being in relationship with one another. They're part of this being exposed to one another in relationship, that we're in this for the long haul. Family. We're going to be serving the King for eternity together. We might as well start demonstrating that right here, right now, on earth, because that is a witness to the world. That is a witness to the world. And I absolutely believe that it's a necessary part of the process. And just from examining Scripture, we see that it's a necessary part of sharing the same road as Christ. Jesus did it. He entered into partnership. And look at what he did, went through with Judas and with even Peter and the people that, the disciples that just left him and deserted him. He knows it. He understands it. He understands the risk. He understands that it can get messy at times. But let me tell you guys in church, it's good for you and I to come face to face with these. It's absolutely necessary to walk through misunderstandings with others, with leadership. It's absolutely necessary to walk through conflict and disagreements and disappointments. It's absolutely necessary to persevere through frustrations. It's absolutely necessary to deny the disillusionment that attaching yourself would be of greater value. It's absolutely necessary to bear with one another's burdens and to forgive grievances of each other. It's absolutely essential for your spiritual maturity to be completed. It's a risk. Now think about the most tremendous risk. God takes the biggest risk of all of us, doesn't he? I mean, he has entrusted you and me to carry his gospel message, and to be stewards of his kingdom here on this earth. A bunch of flawed people who are prone to wander away from his grace and prone to wander away from his blessings, right? He's entrusted you with the gospel message. That's the biggest risk. He takes the biggest risk out of anybody. And you know what he's not doing? He's not going to remove himself from us at one point ever. He's not going to detach himself. He's not going to detach himself. We were designed to be connected with one another in community. We were designed and adopted into the family, and it comes with this caveat that we can't have God without also having each other. And so there's this risk that is involved in partnership, a calculated decision to be in partnership with one another and in God's mission. Now, partnership commitment does not save your life, but I believe this, as you look through Scripture and the letters that Paul writes to the churches, it absolutely enables you to grow and become more spiritually mature in Christ Jesus, which is what God's will is for your life. God's will is for you to grow up into maturity in Christ. And partnership, through the thick and the thin, through better or worse, is God's design. And that's ultimately why having a commitment through partnership is absolutely essential. It's because it's obedient demonstration to the will of God in our lives. It's an obedient demonstration to the will of God in our lives. Now, I could go on and on and on about partnership because I'm the pastor, and I believe in it. I believe in it. I've asked some people to come and join me up here, and so if I could ask Jay and Rosie, if you guys, and Steve, if you would make yourself ready as well, if you guys would just come on up here. I've asked these couples, this couple and this man, to come up and just share firsthand their experience of partnership and the value that partnership has had on their lives. Rosie and Jay have been a part of this church when it was called the Church of the Good Shepherd. It was meeting in a basement in Drexel Hill. Many of you are here who are a part of that as well and can remember those days. You guys have been here from, I'm sure you're going to tell us how long you've been here, but you've been here since I started giving birth. Yeah. Since I started taking breath. And so would you guys please share with us the benefits of your partnership with Cornerstone?
Hey, Ryan was 6 months old, I think. Yeah, he was breathing. My name is Rosie Weaver. Jay and I have been part of this church for close to 40 years, 36 or 7 years. It doesn't feel that long at all, but I do love the church, and partnership is an awesome and a powerful thing. And it's an opportunity, I'll just speak about myself, it's an opportunity for me to do the things that God wants me to do in this body and with everyone else behind me and with me behind everyone else doing things. It's an opportunity, yes. We can accomplish so much more together if we're in unity. That doesn't mean we agree with everything, but we're in unity to make the purposes that God has given the church happen in this body, and that's what's so exciting about it. That's really pretty much the opposite of the world. That doesn't really make any sense when I think about what's happening in the world, but I'm glad it happens here in the church. Relationships can get very messy, and I figure that that's the way God wants it to be. They get messy, they grow. You learn about forgiveness. You learn how to care for people. You learn about how, like, I learned so much about how to care for people watching other people care for people here in the church. Working with the youth, I've learned how to forgive them and how to work with them and how to, they've taught me so much about worship and just how they are with each other. And it's really been exciting. And the church has helped me to learn to be a better mother, a better wife to my honey. It has helped me with my children and learning how to forgive them. I've had some people really speak into my life. It wasn't all great stuff, but it was hard. Some of it was hard, but I really wanted to learn because I knew that if I listened, it said that, you know, the discipline of the Lord, I figured God can use that person to discipline me, like, you know, tell me something, and that I could just grow and be better, you know. So he was bringing it to someone else's attention so that I could get rid of those awful habits or things I said and things like that. So, and about a year and a half ago, I went through a really, really hard time, and I was going to get, like, a really big box of that wrapping paper, what is it called, the freezer paper, you know, it's white. I was going to kind of hang it, like, have it rolling down there. That's how many people that, in the body of Christ, that's how many people helped me during that time. And I didn't even know, they didn't even know what I was going through or anything, most of them. They just came up and said things or sent things. They took me out for breakfast. They always paid. That was really great. But they really, they helped me. They prayed for me. They stood with me. They cried with me. They made phone calls. And I could not have gone through that time without the people. There was many. I had to be in a safe place. That was one of my things. I always had to be around safe people and safe things. So I couldn't wait to come to church because I felt that way, church. And I've also learned how to, you know, be thankful for things that I really wasn't thankful for. And I also learned how to be more transparent and know that some things you go through are very, very hard, spiritual things, physical things, and mental things, and that it's okay. It has to be okay in the body. There's no other place that it's not okay on the world, a lot of that stuff. It's got to be okay in the church. That's all there is to it. So we have to, in all three of those areas, God has really helped me in and has used just about everyone in this church. Many are new out there, I know, but just about everyone in the church. So I thank the Lord for this body. We've had to be able to be in times when there were things going in the church that weren't great. But God said, you know, you're to stand with that church anyway. You stay in there and you stand with the church. This is where I want you to be. Just because so-and-so left or that happened, that doesn't mean that you have, that doesn't mean I want you to go. It means I want you to stand and stay strong for your church, for this local body. And that's very, very important. And that's taught us a lot because my other part of me is just like, oh, not again, or I can't stand that. I hate when that happens. That only happens in the world. It should be happening here, blah, blah, blah. And God says, you're supposed to stay there. You stay strong. You continue to support, you encourage, and you pray for your pastors and your leaders and things like, and other people. And that has changed me and made me more mature, because I really needed to get more mature, because I was really a mess, not very mature when I first joined the church. But God has used the church to help me grow in every single way, and I thank you all. Thank you.
You know, a lot of what Rosie said is what I'm going to share as well. But there's been a lot of things that just in our history that we've worked through. And some were blessings and some were not quite a blessing. I first came to this church, I was single. And then I found my wife. Surely, you know, right at that point, it was like Hurricane Sandy just whipped right around our brand new marriage, and there was a church split. And there was a white-haired gentleman named Brother Lamb, and some years later, he stayed in the church through all that turmoil and said, "Why did you never leave?" And these words that came out of his mouth were just pure wisdom. He said, "Jesus never told me to leave." You know, he says, "God planted me in this church. I'll grow in this church, and I'll grow this church." So as things, you know, came around and everything else, and we had kids in this church, and now my kids are having kids in this church, and it's just been, you know, a blessing after another blessing after another blessing. And I've said before, and I shared up here, that you know, so many times we go through all these different things, but we don't always look back at what we've come through. And if you look at the just call it like almost like the stock market roller coaster. Sorry for the analogy, but or the, you know, just even better yet, just the sea. And you know, you're in a partnership with the other person on the other side of the boat and your own boat. Okay? Sometimes you know, you need to turn a boat around, and both of you need to push on the oars the different direction to turn a boat around faster. As you know, bigger seas come, you need a bigger boat to, you know, to be able to not be swamped. And that's where this church comes, you know, together as in partnership. We all have our hand to the oar. We can all move this bigger boat faster, better, stronger together. And you know, there's, you know, Ryan's got his hand on the tiller as he believes God. And you know, there may be some times when you know, you're in this bigger boat and you're seeing some people rowing faster and other people not even rowing at all, but they're all on one side of the boat and the other side of the boat. So God's taking those people on the other side of the boat to row it faster, to turn it harder, to turn it faster, because there's been some contrary winds that we need to get back in line. And then everybody will row again in unison. And you have to see that in your life, that there are those times when you need other people to be contrary to you, to develop your character in another way that you don't necessarily see at the time. That's the whole value of partnership and being made more perfect in the image of Christ. Amen.
Very much. Steve.
Well, first I want to thank the church for even asking me to be a partner 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. It's pretty amazing. At first it was like, okay, I'm going to be a member. And they're like, no, you're a partner. Well, what's the difference? Well, there's a huge difference. Being a member is like, okay, well, you know, you got to tithe. We all know that. We got to tithe. But that's only like 10% of the whole thing. You gotta take your talents, the time that you have, the time that you make to have, and if somebody needs something, the answer is yes. Just do it. You know. So God gave me these talents, and the talents that He's given me, I just openly offer them to you. It's every one of you. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't say no. It's just because the Lord says, I gave it to you. You need to share it with them, okay? I can't do the things that everybody else does, and I know I'm reiterating what Pastor Ryan had already said, but it's just what was in my heart and everything. I didn't write it down. Didn't have to write it down. It just comes through me. I asked the Lord to, you know, just come through me in the Holy Spirit, and it's just going to flow. So with the knowledge of Pastor Phil and the guidance of Pastor Ryan and their whole families and how they get together and how they make you feel like you're one of the family. But the Lord himself had brought me and said, listen, this is what I want you to share. This is what I want you to give. And it all comes from the heart. So it's not for me. It's all for him. He's given me the talents. He's given me the strength. I ask for the wisdom every day. And just for that day, because then I leave myself open to whatever, you know, he wants me to do that day. Whatever he's going to, you know, bring through the doors, whatever he's going to do, whatever. How can I help somebody else do something? And I think that's what the partnership is and how the difference it made everything in my life change. It made me think about what I'm going to do, why I'm going to do it, and for who it's for. It's not for me, it's not for my grace. I couldn't be in the corner doing something and not be seen. But the Lord wants me to share it with everybody. not just in this room, not just in the first service, the second service, or when we get special events together, but it, through the whole world. So the grounding and the knowledge and the base that I get from this pastoral family has really made a huge difference in what I do outside this church. Being a partner completely changed the way I think and everything that I do. I mean, it really has. And if you'd asked me that a long time ago, I'm like, I don't know the difference. I know the difference now, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for being a partner, and that you even asked me to get up here and share that with you. So I thank you very much, and I praise the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given me the ability to stand up here and share that with you.
Amen. Thank you. So he doesn't say no. So, Steve, I need to borrow a certain Ford Mustang Cobra for the week. Yeah. Oh, man, that's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, at this time, we are going to invite on the two families that are going to be coming into partnership with Cornerstone. Could you guys give these guys a warm welcome and a warm Alexis and Mariah and your kids? Are the kids up here too? Keep clapping. Let's give them a standing O. What do you say? Give them a standing O. Come on up here, guys. What's up, big man? Come on up here. Hi. Is Gavin here? He's downstairs? Okay. You ready to say what you were going to say? What do you want to say? Nah. Everybody, this is Alexis Harrison, and this is Sophia and Layla. Can everybody say hello? This is Mariah Corky. This is Isaiah, and Gavin is downstairs. I think he may be coming up. Can everybody say hi? Yeah, it's awesome. These two ladies came to me a while back and expressed their desire to become partners of this church, and we sat down, we talked about it, we evaluated the risks. I'm like, are you guys sure? You know what I'm saying? No, but I was very forthright about it, and so it was a calculated decision that they have made. And that they have desired to become part of this family and to put their time, talents, and treasures to the service of the Lord, and to be family and to be a supporting ligament in this body of Christ. And so that's really awesome. And so we are here to recognize you guys. And so are you guys ready to say what you wanted to say? I was just messing with them. How many times going to do the same joke, right? I won't embarrass them. But they weren't going to say anything. But the Bible talks about giving the right hand of fellowship. When they come into partnership with Cornerstone. So can I extend my hand to you? This is the right hand of fellowship. And can I have a right hand? Can you shake my hand? My man knows how to do it. Right hand of fellowship. There we go. It's great to have you guys. Sophia, can I have a high five? Smack that. Good. Well, guys, this is a new part of the Cornerstone family. It is a joy to have you guys. Phil, I'm going to hand it off to you. You want them to go back?
Thank you. Oh, I've got two now. Thank you. Yeah, it's great. I enjoy working with you guys. It's just great to be able to come down below during the week, every day of the week. Whenever I feel down, I'll go up and visit the ladies, you know, because you smile and hi, how are you? And the kids, yeah, you ran across during the week. I think it was Thursday or Friday, and she hugged me. And what better antidote could you ever ask for, eh? Yeah. And as for that guy over there, man, yeah. He's got a brother. Hi. See? That's what he does, right? Where's Gavin today? What's he doing? Okay, he's downstairs. Yeah. Hi. It doesn't just, you know, boom, boom, boom. By the way, we should mention you, Mike Lenz. Because years ago, we had nothing like membership or partnership. Uh-huh. And the people decided, hey, it's a little bit loose. And so I think it was you and somebody else, I can't remember, but you wrote the the outline that we use for partnership, didn't you? So thank you. You helped. Yeah, yeah. So the wisdom that's expressed in those pages is fantastic. The other thing is what's in the Bible, and many, many times we've talked about, and you talked about it again today, Ephesians chapter 4. You can sit down there. We're finishing up. We really are finishing up. Yeah. It's a great way to finish, isn't it? But you spoke about Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul references Psalm 68. And in Psalm 68, I think it's verse 8, he talks about a train being presented to the king of everything, you know? And the king of everything, God, right? God receives what's presented to him. Well, Paul takes that picture that's in Psalm 68. And what he does is he talks about a great train, right, that's being led by Christ into the presence of God. And the people that are in that great train, it's a train of people. It's not a choo-choo train, right? It's a train of people, a great convoy, if you like, of people. And it's presented to God. And do you know what God does with the members of that convoy? You know what? He receives them with great joy, and then he gives them as gifts to his church. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. He gives them as gifts. And each one of you is uniquely crafted, uniquely made, uniquely represents the task, the purpose that God has got for you in his church. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Right? That's the confidence that you can have, that God has crafted you for the future that you have in his body, in the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Amen? Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? So it's fantastic to be able to stand here and you know, people that we've known for years and years and years and have seen the work that they've done for years and years and years and understand that it's not self-righteous effort that's been crafted. It's the design and purpose of God that has been manifest on the face of this earth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. Let's just take the opportunity at this time to refresh our vows. We do that a lot at weddings, don't we? But refresh our commitment to God, refresh our commitment to each other, that we would lift up each other, that we'd pray for each other, that we would pray for Pastor Ryan from Wednesday right through until the just before Thanksgiving there when he returns from India, that we would commit in partnership to pray for Pastor Ryan, that we would pray for Tony and his leadership of the bikers, Lord God, that we would pray for Steve in his business, that we would pray for others that are here, each one of us significantly placed, we're where we're meant to be by the placement of God. Thank you, Lord, for partnership with you and for partnership with each other. Lord God, we take it seriously. Lord, take it seriously, but as Greg said in the first service when he was celebrating his nearly 50-year commitment, he said there were people who took God seriously, but with great joy. With great joy. So, Lord God, we thank you that this week, as we take seriously our commitment to Lord Jesus Christ, it will be manifest with great joy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So as you go from this place, go with great joy. Right? Understanding that joy is not founded on some silly little whatever, but is founded on an incredibly deep and serious eternal truth, the plan and purposes of God. Partners together in the plan and purposes of God. Thank you, Sam. God bless you all. Have a great day.